Okay, let's open up in prayer and then we shall begin. Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to share your word this morning. I pray that as I do so, that Lord, you will anoint what I say, that it will touch the hearts and the minds of the people hearing here today, Lord Father. Lord, I pray that everyone hearing will be of good ground, that the word will penetrate into our hearts and bear fruit, O Lord Father. I pray that this word will change us, that it will encourage us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So, I've had a lovely, as usual, when it comes to preaching the word. I generally speaking don't sleep. I like to just stay up. I say I like to, but it's really me just like preparing. So, I've spent a lot of time last night waiting on the Lord to share this word. And when I first got what I was going to share, I was starting to run off in a certain direction. I was like, yes, I know what I'm going to say. I know what I'm going to do. And every time I sat down to begin to write, I was like, the Lord says, slow down. I want to talk about this. So, okay. And I'll start to get excited again. I'll want to run on. I was like, no. I just want to stay here. So I've stayed where the Lord has asked me to stay. And I pray that this word will bless you today. Amen. I'm going to be talking from a small section of the life of David today. We're going to just focus on him. And I'm going to be talking about from the time we meet him to just before he becomes king. Okay? And I feel there's a lot in here that we can learn from and that can encourage us in our day-to-day. So, the first thing I want to highlight to us is we meet David in 1 Samuel chapter 16, okay? And we meet him at this transition where we have King Saul, who was anointed as king, but the Lord has basically taken the kingdom from him. Saul had this habit of disobeying the Lord at the last minute. So the Lord will give him an instruction and he'll carry out 90% of it and then leave the last bit and be like, oh, but it's okay, Lord. And the Lord was like, no, it's not okay. And so it got to the point where, in two occasions, in fact, let me just read them. Two occasions, the Lord said to Saul that the kingdom is going to be taken from him. So in 1 Samuel 13:14, it says, But now your kingdom must end. For the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. And then a second time in Samuel 15:28, 1 Samuel 15:28, it says, And Samuel said to him, The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to someone else, one who is better than you. So, I want us to take from this that David is a shepherd boy looking after his father's sheep. He doesn't know anything about this conversation between Saul and God. And God is making plans to make him the next king. I want you to understand that we have to recognize that God has a plan for our lives. And you might not know about it. I need to understand that David was happy playing his harp, looking after the sheep. Well, I say happy, we'll come to that in a minute. But that's what he was doing. And the next thing you know, God is planning to make him king and he knows nothing about it. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that, For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us long ago, or we can do great works that he has planned for us long ago and predestined for us. There is a work that we are called to do. And as we are going about our day to day, understand that God has a plan for you and he's orchestrating things that you might not know about that are coming to meet you to bring you towards your destiny. Amen. In John 15:16, it says that we did not choose God, but God chose us. And it's important that we understand this as we continue to seek God's face, to live for him, to serve him, to honor him, that we understand that God is working things behind the scenes. So we meet David, and it's interesting. God sends Samuel to go to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king. And so Samuel arrives at the house, and he sees the first son, and he's like, "Oh, this is like a good candidate. Yeah, it must be him." And the Lord is like, "No, not this one." So, oh, okay. And so Jesse has, I think it's 8 sons. He goes through the next one. No, goes through all 7. And Samuel's like, "Okay, he's not here. Like, what's going on? I've not seen him. Do you have any other sons?" And this should tell you about how David was seen in this family. There is a selection of a king happening, and he is still out in the field looking after sheep. He was quite rejected, quite abandoned amongst his family. He was the lesser of all of them. And so Jesse was like, I do have another son, actually. He's out in the field looking after the sheep. Should I get him? And Saul is like, Samuel's like, "Nothing is going to happen here until he comes. Bring him here immediately." So they go and bring David. In his shepherd's clothes, no preparation, rocks up to the house. "Hey, Dad." And instantly, Samuel's like, "This is the one. Anoint him." I wanna encourage you that in your day-to-day, in the things you are doing, that God is still able to call you out of your everyday mundane. That you may look at yourself right now, and you may say, "No one knows me. I'm a nobody. I'm even been rejected. I'm even in a place where I feel that nobody cares, nobody sees me." And I want you to know that God can still come and choose you. He can take you from a place of nowhere and put you to a place of somewhere. David was the less of all of them. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about even where you are now, that God has taken you and brought you to where you are thus far. Just think about that. I know for me, when I think about that, I have to thank God. Because it's not like my life would have ended up here anyway. Not for me anyway, for sure. I would definitely not be here. But God is able to do that. He is able to take us, even with a beginning of no significance, and take us to a place of significance. You might be, or you might feel like the most unlikely candidate for God to use you. You might look at yourself and say, "Look, it's cool. I'll just go with the flow, and we'll see where things go." But I want you to know that if God has chosen you, you are the most qualified for what God has called you to do. It says here that in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "For the Lord said to Samuel, 'Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him.' The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." I want us to recognize that our heart in our everyday is very important. How we, when no one is looking, how we conduct ourselves, how we choose to give ourselves to our work, how we choose to treat our neighbors, our family, our friends, our spouse, our children, the way how we conduct ourselves, our heart is very important to God. We live in a world where you know, everyone is putting on, you know, it used to just be like you look at a magazine and everyone looked good in the magazine. But now, social media, everyone has to look good all the time. You don't know when a camera might come out. You're across the world. That's it. But God does not look in that way. He doesn't care how you look on the outside. You can look great on the outside and think, and everyone can think, oh, this is the one. But God is looking at your heart. It says that once Samuel saw David, he said that he anointed him. And it said that the anointing, once the anointing came on David, it says, so as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. The anointing of God upon you is what makes the difference in what you need to do. In your everyday, in the small things that you are doing, seek to have the anointing come upon those things. Ask God for his oil to come upon you in the small things that you do every day. Whether it be going to work, whether it be cooking dinner, whether it be talking to friends, encourage, whatever it is you're doing, ask for the anointing to come on. Because as we will see, the Lord was with David in everything he did and caused him to be successful because of the anointing on his life. Here's an example. So after this happens, Samuel disappears. And then Saul, it says that a harassing spirit comes upon Saul, tormenting spirit. And someone suggests, okay, we need to find a musician to help him with this situation. And the servant, I don't know how the servant knew David, but the servant said, you know what, there's this guy, plays the harp, he's really good. I can go and get him and bring him for you. So, okay, so David comes, plays the harp. And it says that the spirit that was harassing Saul left him. See, the anointing will cause you to be able to disrupt the plans of the enemy around you. And here's another thing. If you want to be promoted, find out what's harassing the person who you're serving and harass that thing. It says that after David played the harp and the spirit left Saul, Saul said, can you stay? Can you stay? In fact, I just want you to stay here. I'm going to send word to your dad. Stay here and just keep on doing that. And it said that he stayed and became Saul's armor bearer. He became his right-hand man. In other words, everywhere he went, David had to come along with him. You know, some of the things that you do in private every day, they are preparation for where God is going to take you. I'm sure David just liked the harp. No one, it's not like today, you're not being forced. It's not like there's loads of people doing it. It's like, oh, I want to be like him. It's not like he was flicking through Instagram. It's like, oh, I think I can do that. He must have just liked the harp. And so he sat down. I can imagine him sitting with the sheep. Okay, the sheep are all good. Let me play a few, you know, make a few psalms, write a few tracks. So he was doing that. And he just enjoyed it. Not knowing that that thing would bring him before a king. The scripture says that your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men or before kings. Don't underestimate the gifts and the talents that God has put in you. Work on them now. Question I put here is, are you developing your gifts when no one is looking? When there is no demand, when there is no acknowledgement, are you developing that gift now? Another way to put it is, if the queen was to require you tomorrow to perform in your gifting, would you be ready? Or would you be like, I still need to go and do some practice, some rehearsing? Because that's what happened to David. David wasn't planning nothing. He was 1 minute looking after sheep, next minute in front of a king playing a harp. That's how God can move you. That's how God can change a person's life. And so David plays the gift. He becomes Saul's armor bearer. And then a situation arises over time, and we hear of Goliath, and we all know the story of David and Goliath. And there's some interesting things I just want to bring out from this. David, you know, the time when you feel that you're insignificant is so important. David comes to this camp with all these soldiers, and they're all scared. And David's like, who's this Philistine? Who's this guy? Who's this guy who's running up his mouth, as we would say, like saying all this stuff? He has such confidence. And Saul is like, look, you're a schoolboy, relax. Like this, Goliath is a man of war. He's been trained from his youth. Like, just chill, just calm down here. Like, look at this. And David's like, excuse me, hold on. Let me explain something to you. He says, I've looked after my father's sheep. We're going back to the sheep. The insignificant thing, the thing that no one cares about, the thing that no one's looking at. I've looked after my father's sheep, and lions and bears have come to try and take my father's sheep. And let me tell you something. I dealt with them in the power of the Lord. Let me deal with this Philistine. The insignificant became the thing that equipped him and prepared him to take on his next challenge, the Goliath. I want to encourage you. The things you are doing today are preparation for where God wants to take you. That boss that just gets you up the wrong way, just winds you up the wrong way. Everything, they know how to push your buttons, and you have to constantly be exercising long suffering and patience. That rejection that you keep on facing when you keep on wanting to move forward and it's not happening. That challenge that seems to be unsurmountable and you can't seem to overcome it in your everyday. I want to explain to you that it is preparation for where God is taking you. Don't be discouraged from what you see right now, because you don't know how God is going to use it in the plan he has for you. He says in 1 Samuel 17, 37, it says this: the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the Philistine. And then Saul agreed and said, okay, go ahead. We must learn to, when we walk in faith in the circumstances we have today, it's the same faith that we will walk in when we reach our challenges where God is taking us. And I was so encouraged by this, because it made me, sometimes we think, okay, when people reach a certain level, it's because they're special. It's because there's something that they have that I don't have. But actually, it's the things that you are dealing with right now. It's the faith you have that God will provide for you for tomorrow that is going to take you where God is going to take you. It's the you trusting in God today when you don't have what you need, knowing that God is going to do it for you tomorrow. It's the small things that you're doing right now that make you who God is calling you to be. Amen? David didn't David attributed all of this to his past walk with God. Goliath was nothing. So I've seen my God deal with far worse, man. What's this? What's this Philistine? And so as I read this, it made me realize something. It made me realize that one of the reasons why we don't see the power of God demonstrated in the world or in our workplaces, or why we don't demonstrate it a lot, is because we don't see it in our personal, quiet, no one can see secret place. See, this was a no-brainer for David. It wasn't like, there's a Philistine, what do I do? Let me go and pray. He didn't even do that. It was, there's a Philistine talking against the armies of Israel. God, let me deal with this person like how I dealt with... It was just, let me just continue as I've always been. He knew and experienced the power of God. God had come through for him many, many times before. And so he just flowed in that. And I find that if we do not experience God in our personal, where no one sees, then how do we expect to demonstrate God in our, where everybody is, in our workplace and in the world? We have to come to a place like David, and we'll look at it in soon, where he totally trusted in God. He just trusted in God. That was his stance. God will bring me through. That's why it says that David was a man after God's own heart. He just trusted in God. Our confidence should come from the battles we have won in the secret place. It continues on to say that David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. He went, he killed Goliath. I'm not going to dwell on that story because I know we know that story. He killed Goliath, chopped off Goliath's head with his own sword. You know, I'd love to see a film where they do that properly. But after that, it says that Saul made him a general over 1,000 men. And he would just go out and he would always be successful. Wherever God sent him, or wherever Saul sent him, he would succeed. In fact, at one point, Saul said, okay, look, you can marry my daughter, but David was like, how do I, you know, there's like a dowry for a king's daughter, like, how do I pay for this? And so Saul was like, okay, you bring me, not the most pleasant thing, I wouldn't want to pay this way, but bring me 100 Philistine circumcised heads, skins. Like, I don't know why he would have to pay. And I know why he did it. He did it because he became jealous of David, and he wanted David to actually die whilst he was going to get these foreskins. And David was like, no problem. In fact, he went and got 200, came to marry his daughter. So Saul saw that God is with this man. I want you to know that God is with you. That if you seek God this way, and you in your everyday you see it, that God is the one that's going to bring you through. God will go ahead of you. God will be with you. Everything you do will have success. Amen? And even with this success, even with this faith he had in God, David will still have times where he would walk around, and you see this in Samuel 20, and he was confused. He didn't understand why Saul was attacking him. And I want you to, I know that we go through these times where we are facing challenges in life, we are being attacked, we are seeing things hit us from left, right, up, down, all around. And we're like, God, why? Why am I got to face this challenge? Why have I got to go through this? Why me? And I want you to know that David, as great as he was, felt that way as well. But we need to also understand that God has a plan for us. Also, the enemy has a plan for us. It says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we must be aware of this. As we continue reading through Samuel, there's around 9 attempts or so. It's around 9. Where Saul seeks to kill David. I mean, the man was just after him. David hasn't done nothing, you know. He kills Goliath, does all the right things, and is like, I want to kill this man. David ends up running, living in caves. The people that he starts to associate with are all people that are in debt and outcast and downcast people. And in this place where he's in the wilderness, he gets 2 opportunities to take out Saul. So I want you to imagine this. You are living out in the street. The because some man is harassing you, chasing you, and you get the opportunity to give him a piece of your mind and let him know that what he's doing is not right, and you choose not to. You have every right to do it, and you choose not to. And this is the kind of heart that David had. He was so consumed with honoring God that even when he could have got his own vengeance, he left it to the Lord. It shows his character, the character that he had. And it's also important for us to know that it's not every battle that we face that we are to, so to speak, make a noise about and fight. There are some battles that we need to just leave to God. There are some battles that it's the going through them that builds the character that we need to where we're going to go. So David's going to be a king. And if a king is a very vengeful person, that makes for a bad king. A king has to be able to be self-controlled, be able to make decisions that are not just for his own personal gain, but for his whole nation, his whole, all the people he is overseeing, he is keen over. And so David shows his character through these two instances. So I want us to just look at a few things that happen when, a few things that we can do, a few things that happen when we are going through challenges and we're not dealing with them in God's way. Because interesting, we've got with David's situation, he keeps on saying that Saul is the king's anointed, so I can't touch him, I won't touch him. But in our situation today, when the enemy is coming against us, there's no need to say any king's anointed. It's the devil needs to be dealt with. So it's interesting, he gives us a kind of picture of some of the things we do when we're not dealing with the enemy. Because this is what David did to not deal with Saul. So I want to show us some of the things that we can end up doing if we don't actually deal with the enemy in our lives. In one occasion, when the people were sent to kill David, it says that David acted like a madman. That he allowed drool to come down his beard and he started kind of clawing on the doors like he was mad, so that people would just ignore him and be like, "What? Who is this guy? Well, I ain't got time for this. Please don't waste my time with this mad person." And the reason, and what I want to show you out of this is that if you do not deal with the enemy in your life, sometimes what we can do is start to self-sabotage ourselves. When God is calling you somewhere, you start to undermine the very thing that God has called you to do. And you start acting, so to speak, the fool. Being foolish is to not believe what God has said you can do. You start acting the fool. So one way we can cope with not dealing with the devil is through madness. Another way this comes out is through insanity. You keep on doing the same thing, expecting something different to happen, and it's not going to happen. The second thing that David did is he hid with the enemy. Now, the very Philistines that David went and killed Goliath, he ends up going and actually hiding with them and fighting with the Philistine army. When I read that, I was confused. I was like, but how? You just killed their biggest general and now you're actually staying with them. But this is what happens when the enemy is on our case. For instance, in the workplace, rather than stand out and speak truth and shine, we blend in and become like everybody else. We hide with the enemy. Rather than in our places of gifting and strengths and allowing it to honor God, we just use it to bring glory to ourselves or make money and just do what everybody else is doing with it. We hide with the enemy. The scripture says that we should not hide our light under a bushel, that it should be planted on the top of a light stand so everyone can see it, that we are the light and the salt of the earth. Number three, it says that he hid in the wilderness. Hiding in the wilderness is basically doing everything you shouldn't be doing. When the children of Israel were going around in the mountain, they should have been going into the promised land. Being in the wilderness is wasting time. It's getting involved in things that are not taking you to where you should be going. It says that David ran. That's another thing we can do. We can run. We can just not face our battles. We can just keep on going in the other direction. Okay, well, it looks too difficult to do this, so I'm just going to go this way and hope everything will be okay. If you keep on running, you will never arrive at the destination that God has called you to arrive at. David's destination was to become king. Bearing in mind, all of this is happening whilst he has been anointed as king. He's not sitting on any throne right now. He is in the wilderness hiding for his life. And fifth, he put others in danger. In fact, not only did he put others in danger, he cost, I think it was 80, so if I remember correctly, priests their lives. Because he stayed with a group of priests. And when Saul came to hear about it, he went there and he commanded that they all be killed. When we don't do what God has called us to do, we affect those who should be benefiting from the gift that God has put in us. They do not draw from us and receive the grace that we are supposed to give. The blessing that is supposed to come from us doesn't come from us. And so we are also affecting others' lives. Just everybody, even with the gospel, has that we can share the gospel with the people that we are around. And when we don't do that, God says, well, you know, their blood is on our hands. Are we seeing people saved or not? So these are some of the ways how David deals with running from Saul, and how we can deal with running from the enemy instead of dealing with the enemy in our lives. But then it comes to this one event that I want to start to wrap up on. And this is the last event before David becomes king. And he, again, was where he shouldn't have been. He went to go and fight a Philistine war. And the Philistines said, I don't want this guy with us. Like, I don't know. Go away. They actually rejected him again. So now, him with his 600 men goes back to where he was staying, which was Ziklag. And he finds the whole place is burnt down. He finds that everybody, has been taken captive. Wife, his wives, we only have one, but his wives, amen. All the people's children, everybody, their cattle, all their goods have been taken. And it says that David and his men wept until they could weep no more. And there are times we face in our lives, times where we hit rock bottom. Like there's nothing, we feel there's nothing more I have. Like I'm empty. I don't have nothing. I can't deal with this. This is like beyond me. The crying hasn't satisfied nothing. I am empty. And what do we do in those times? And it says here that David... I didn't put the verse on here, but it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. Or another version says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And I read that and I was like, that is powerful. Okay, I need to find out how he did that, because I want to explain how he did that. And as I was doing it, the Lord said, no, you missed it. It's not how we did that, because how he did that is what he's been doing all along. When we read the Psalms, let's look at Psalms 42. Have they been going up, the verses? Could we look at Psalms 42, verse 1? Let's see if I can find it. It says here, As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continue to taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshippers, leading a great procession to the house of God. Then verse 5, it says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Verse 11, it says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. When it says David strengthened himself in the Lord, it's not something new that he did. It's not something different that he did. It wasn't a special thing that came upon him. It was him referring back to his passion for God. When we hit rock bottom, sometimes we want, and I've been there, you want something different to happen. Or you want something to come and fix it. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. He came back to a place to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, even though this disastrous thing has happened, what's your mind on this? What do I do? What he cried, when you read the Psalms, he's very clear. He cries out to God. He's not pretending like nothing is wrong. He cries out to the Lord. But at the same time, he understands that God is his source. So he seeks the Lord. And it says after that, he says, David inquired of God, should I pursue the Philistines? Will I capture them? And God said, yes, you shall pursue them and you shall recover all. I want to tell you today, if you feel that the enemy has stolen from you, the enemy has taken from you, that God says that you shall recover all. There is nothing that God cannot restore. God is a restorer and God is a redeemer. It says in John 16:33 that Jesus said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. There isn't nothing that Jesus cannot restore. So if you're in a place and you feel like you have nothing and you've cried and you're like, Lord, I don't know what to do, I want you to turn back to God. There isn't something else. There isn't something else. It is all in him. It is all in him. And that's one of the things I learned about David as I continue to read about him. His mind was made up. It was, God was his source and his solution every time. Even when he messed up, and we're not going to get into this, but when he sinned and messed up and slept with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed, as soon as Nathan asked him about it, he just confessed straight away and was like, Lord, forgive me. Straight away. No playing games. And then once he had done that, he was like, okay, sincerely repented, but was ready to live with the consequences. Our mind needs to be made up. Is God our source or not? Jesus said it. We're going to face trials. We're going to face sorrows. But he has overcome the world. So when we face those things, be encouraged. I wanted to encourage, I know that generally speaking, it's like, it's a heavy kind of, his life was quite heavy. But I looked at encouraged, and initially, the first thought that comes to mind when you think of encouraged is making people feel good. It's like, I feel nice, I feel encouraged. But when you look at the meaning of the word encouraged, it doesn't really mean to feel good. In fact, the word encouraged means, is en, so within, and courage, bravery. It's causing someone to be brave within. And as I was going through this, the Lord said that there's a lot we need to be brave about. There's a lot we have to become bold and brave and courageous to do. To live life, you have to be courageous. If you want to live life as a Christian, you have to be courageous. You have to have courage that God is going to come through for you. Just like how David said, look, it's God who saved me from the bears and the lions. To do that, that's faith, that's courage. It's not like he was doing some martial arts or something. And this is lions and bears. I don't want to face no lions and bears. We must have faith in God that he will come through for us. And as we have faith in him that he'll come through for us, and we see him come through for us, we will grow in confidence to be able to take that into our workplaces, take that into where our friends are, take that into any situation, because it is normal to us. We've seen God do this before. Romans 8:28 verse 9 says this. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. I want to encourage everyone here today that God is taking what you are going through and working it to your good. God will not disgrace you. Even if you lose something, God can redeem it and give you back more. The scripture says, I think it's John 10:10, I think. It says that whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. But whoever chooses to lose it for Jesus' sake will find it. I want to encourage us to let our lives be in the Lord's hands. To choose to live life in God's hands. And it's a scary thing. When you really sit down and think about it, it's scary when you think about, I'm going to give up control and I'm going to allow God to have control. Like when we really say, I'm going to live in God's hands. There's so much that goes on in David's life that you're like, this is just a shepherd's boy. Like when you go back to the beginning and remember who he is, and then you go to where God took him, this is just a shepherd boy. This is a guy that was left and forgotten in the backyard somewhere. God can do that with all of us. God has chosen us for greatness. I read earlier that it says that he chose us, not that we chose him. It's Matthew 10:39 that says, if you cling to your life. So I pray today that this word has encouraged you to live for God, to trust in God, to even in your hardship, to understand that it's not in vain, to understand that the troubles that you go through are not wasted, that God takes them and redeems them, that God uses them for his glory, and that he's using them to prepare you for where he is taking you. Amen? Amen. I just want to pray for a few people. I want to pray for those who feel that, like when David came back from Ziklag, that they just feel rock bottom. They just feel like, do you know what? I just don't have nothing. You know, I feel like the enemy has taken everything from me. I want to pray for people that feel in that place. There's a sense of despair. There's a sense of you've lost it. You've lost. If that's you, I just want you to stand where you are. I don't even need to come to the front, but I just want you to stand where you are. I just want us to pray in agreement. Thank you, Lord. You feel like you've lost. Could be for different things, could be so many different areas, but that's the sense that you carry. That's what you feel. Thank you, Lord. Let's just stretch our hands to those who are standing. Lord Father, you know the hearts of your children who are standing, Lord. Lord, I pray that even now, as they are standing, that you will begin to comfort their hearts, Lord Father. that, Lord, you will let them know of your reassuring love, O Lord Father. That, Lord, let them come to a place where they will have newfound faith and hope in you, O Lord Father. Lord, I pray that your word will come even more alive to them, O Lord Father. That, Lord, it will be an anchor to their souls, O Lord Father. That it will be a joy to their spirit, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will restore to them what the enemy has taken. Lord, your scripture, there's a scripture that says that you taught David's hands to war. Lord, I pray that you will teach these standing their hands to war. Just as David used a sling and didn't use David's Saul's armor. Lord, I pray that you will teach them how to war in the way you have caused them to be, in who you have called them to be, that they will be able to feel confidence in what you are calling them to, O Lord Father. Lord, restore hope. Restore joy in their lives, O Lord Father. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The second group of people I want to pray for are those who you're on the edge, like you know God has been nudging you to step out in faith, and you've been hesitant, you've been resisting, you're a bit afraid. I want to pray for those who are saying, Lord, I want to just trust in you. I want to step out in boldness for you. I want to just do what you're calling me to do. I want to take that next step. If that's you, can you just stand where you are? I want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for those who are standing, Lord. Lord, as they are saying yes to your instructions, Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing to come upon them, O Lord Father. Lord, will you be with them like you were with David, O Lord Father? Bring success to everything that they do, O Lord Father. Lord, I pray that they will know your hand. That, Lord, they will, as David said, that you are his rock, that you are his fortress, his place of safety. Lord, I pray that they will know you as their security, as their comfort, O Lord Father, as they step out in faith to do what you are calling them to do. Lord, I pray that, you will show them who they are, O Lord Father. Because the thing you did with David is you used him as he was. And Lord, I pray that you will show them who you have called them to be. That they will not try and imitate someone else, but they will be truly who you have called them to be and do what you have called them to do. Lord, be with them. Encourage them. Anoint them. We pray this in the name of Jesus.